diverse, independent, yours.
Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And we have a situation. Oh my gosh, not one of those words were fully formed. let's try that again. I was going to say I can barely see you on the Zoom camera there, but yet again, none of our listeners can see us either, so we remain visually a mystery. So.
Yes. Yes,
that's always the great thing. Now we are timer recording is Labor Day. We are Monday is on Labor Day. I'm sure some of the folks listening to us may be listening a little after the fact. Now, Sebastian, how are you doing? Did you put some of the flirting tips and tricks from Benjamin the Flirt Coach to some good practice?
I have a partner already, so mostly what I do is I just say things like, I like you, and then that makes him blush, and then that's good enough. I should put in more effort than that, but I don't know, just surprising him sometimes, you know, like we'll just be talking about chicken wings, as one does, or whether or not pineapple belongs on pizza, and just right in the middle of it, I'll just say, like, I like you, by the way. And then he always like, oh gosh, and that's there's something about the surprise of it, the shifting tone, or sometimes I'll start a boring conversation specifically for the purpose of surprising him later. I've done that a couple times. Yeah,
I like it. I try and do the same, although I think Sebastian, not Sebastian, you're Sebastian.
I'm Sebastian.
I think Jake has come to surviving. Well, surprising Jake, my partner, has become a bit of a challenge. He's not easily surprised, is that man.
Have you tried hiding in a cupboard?
I have not yet tried hiding in a cupboard. It would have to be a rather large cupboard for me to fit.
Well, you have a rather large cupboard. You have two very large cupboards. I've seen your house. But I want to tell you a story about one time when I was in high school and I came home. And after a while, I go to the kitchen pantry, and then my mom jumps out and goes, ha! And then I do the usual, you know, I scream and go, ah, I am so surprised. And then I sit there and I think about it. I'm like, wait, I've been in the kitchen for the past half hour, and I was doing other stuff for 15 minutes before that, which means my mother was waiting in that pantry for at least 45 minutes, just waiting for me to open that door. And she later confessed it was closer to an hour. So that's dedication. If you really want to surprise someone, you got to hide yourself in that pantry. She had to move the potatoes out of the way so she had enough room. Because, you know, you always put the potatoes on the ground. It was just, it was an ordeal. But yeah, that's dedication. That is dedication to the craft. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could consider doing that. Is really what I'm trying to say.
to commit to hiding in a pantry for an hour, you know, that might well work. I think that's not outside the realms of possibility. But I think it's also important to just really, it's about not necessarily about spending the hour hiding in a pantry, or in a cupboard or in a closet, but it's about the intention. It's the time you're thinking, it's doing something for others. Absolutely. It's always a great time. I just realized that our theme tune is just playing on repeat here over the left, just over and over again. I know. Poor theme tune's having its going to be threadbare, so going to be so worn out. Excellent. So I suppose the big gay news is the Government of Canada issuing actual advice. I mean, I'm sure they attempt to issue advice all over the place. But yeah, Global Affairs Canada announcing that they provided new guidance on LGBT folks going into the United States. Now, the whole wide world is like, wait, even Canada is on the fence about visiting the States?
I may be in a different boat from you, but I genuinely think this announcement is fishy and half-baked, and I think a midwit made this decision. Or at least the way that it was executed was very mid in terms of quality and forethought. If you go to the actual statement, what it says is that there are some states that have some laws that are unfriendly to some LGBTQ people. They don't name names. They don't say where you can go. So apparently, like, just the way that it is sort of half framed. I don't know. It feels like is Vermont unfriendly? Like, they're not known for being unfriendly. Is the state of Washington unfriendly? I mean, Seattle has a good reputation. Should we be avoiding California? I don't know. Like, I think there's sort of an obviously we're talking about Alabama and South Dakota kind of a situation. Well, then say that. You know, if you're going to give this kind of advice, travel advice, that and you don't want ramifications from the bad optics and embarrassing our neighbors to the south, then don't make the announcement. If you're going to make the announcement, just dedicate yourself to it. You know, do it properly or don't do it. There's something about this that I don't know. And even then, what it says is a lot of the policies that they're warning against is how children are treated in schools, which has no impact on tourists. And it has warnings against the legal status of drag. Now, depending on what state you're going to, that could be very relevant. But in a lot of them, it's really more about drag performers. Now, this kind of has sort of a NIMBY kind of a quality. Not NIMBY. More like it doesn't affect me. Like, if you're not a drag queen and you're going to the States, it's not going to affect you. Is that fair? Now, if they were to say, if you don't want to support these states with your tourist dollars because of the things they're doing, then you should avoid them. I would be 100% on board with that. But the way they phrased this travel advisory was basically like, if you go there, you will be subjected to medieval torture. It was just...
I mean, I'm going to stop you right there.
It's a little bit histrionic.
It's a little
histrionic.
I'm going to stop you right there because the wording on the travel.gc.ca, the official advice says, and I quote here directly,
Some states
have enacted laws and policies that may affect 2S LGBTQ plus persons. Check relevant state laws and local laws. State and local laws. And, you know, they're not wrong. You know, there have been changes to access to healthcare. So if you're trans and you're going to Texas, for example, you know, checking local state laws could well be some good guidance. You know, if you're a drag performer and you're heading down to South Carolina because you're maybe lost, you know, then checking local laws makes sense. You know, there is changes if you're heading there as a student. Florida and Texas have just been dropped from lists of pro-LGBTQ universities because they are not. You know, there it's more about, and this is like the histrionics, I think, is not here from the government. They've essentially said, look, you know, they have advice on dual citizenship, on prescription medicine, on cannabis. You know, for example, I'll read the cannabis one here. Although the possession of cannabis is legal in some U.S. state, it remains illegal under U.S. federal law in any form and quantity, making it illegal to bring across the border. Do not attempt to cross the border with cannabis. You know, it's more about if you're traveling, be aware of this, check out that. You know, I think it's more of an exercise in covering their own backs, you know. Oh, I went to the States and I got stuck.
Okay.
Oh, I went to the States and I didn't have access to healthcare. The government can say, well, did you read the official advice, which said this might be something you want to look at?
I think a rule of thumb in general is the longer you're going to be at a place, the more this kind of thing is relevant. So if you're worried about access to healthcare and you have a layover in Atlanta, which if you've ever had a layover in Atlanta, it's hell. I'm sorry, but the Atlanta airport is hell. That's kind of a that's not a racy opinion. But if you're there overnight, chances are you're not going to break your leg. You're not going to need emergency medical care. You're probably going to make your flight. You're probably going to be fine. If you're going to be there for a week, if you're going to be there for a month, if you're going to be there for 3 months for some reason, then yeah, the longer, and this is true in general for travel, the longer you are at a place, the more this kind of thing is relevant. I wouldn't even bother looking up the status of, you know, LGBTQ rights in Qatar if I had a layover there, if I was only there for 2 hours. Also, the airport is, I don't know, it's ambiguous. It's kind of international land. It's kind of not international. But anyway, but yeah, for sure, the longer you are in a place, the more relevant it is. And if you're going there for business, if you're just going there for a day or two, if you're passing through the state, like I wouldn't, if you're going on a road trip from here to Louisiana, and Louisiana is a weird thing because they're kind of super liberal and they're kind of super conservative. It just depends on where you are in the state. And actually, Louisiana has a huge drag scene in New Orleans. So let's say you're going down to Louisiana and you have to pass through some states. I wouldn't necessarily say drive around those states. Like, don't add those 8 hours to your road trip. Just book it through the states and don't get into any car accidents. Just drive maturely, drive safely, pass through the state. That's not the worst thing ever. It's not a war zone. Like, I don't know, some of the advice, the way that it's been framed, not only that, but the way that it's been framed by some media outlets is just, it's too much. If they're basically saying, pay attention before you go there, especially if you're going to be there for a period of time, that's fair. Also, actually, if you want to say like a lot of people are saying, you as a tourist are not going to run into anything if you go to Florida, but if you don't want to support them with your tourist dollars, then be aware of the following laws. I think that's 100% fair. But I don't know. I think a travel advisory to the United States is weird. It would be like, I don't know, it'd be like a travel advisory against Norway. Like, what are you going to run
Norway
against?
Norway isn't banning participation in sports for trans folks. Norway isn't, you know, changing access to healthcare in the same way. You know, but there are, what is it, 182 countries, and the Canadian government, there is some boffin in a dimly, I was going to say a dimly lit cubicle, but we all know the government primarily works from home now, so
yeah.
Some boffin in a dimly lit home office, you know, whose remit is probably South America and North America, and, you know, has just routinely updated them. You know, the government routinely updates these travel advisories for countries all over the world. And most of these updates are relatively benign. You know, I'm wondering if what the updated information is for example, Nigeria the various countries in Africa that are currently under the, you know, throes of a military coup.
Famously, a lot of Caribbean islands will get a 1 week long travel advisory. Under no circumstances should you go to Antigua or Barbados, because there's a tropical storm. Like, that kind of thing does happen. So the frequent small updates, I think, is completely fair. And sometimes things change, you know. Don't go to the following place, it's currently on fire. Don't go to this place, it recently had an earthquake and the infrastructure's in recovery. That kind of thing. Totally fair. Totally fair. It should be updated. Probably weekly. I think daily's a bit much.
I think the government, I mean, the Guardian, amongst others, interviewed Helen Kennedy. We know Helen Kennedy. She's great. She is the executive director of EGAL Canada. EGAL Canada is a national charity that works on LGBTQ issues. She said, you know, we're pleased that our government has issued this advisory. I think it's important for members of our LGBTQ community here in Canada to understand the issue. She goes on to say, it is somewhat alarming when the neighbor is imposing and enacting these pieces of legislation, and then refers to the incident of the Californian business lady who had a pride flag, and then she was shot and killed. They've actually released a version of the pride flag that has a symbol that represents her. I think the issue here of the increased spate in violence against queer folks in the States is not what's mentioned in this travel advisory. You know, this travel advisory is talking about law, state and local law, and how that impacts changes to access. But it's triggered a bit of a debate around the safety and the culture of doing so. There was another open letter talking about, you know, there was a journalist, an international journalist based out of the UK, who's never felt as unsafe as walking around in New York, of all places, as openly mm-hmm. gay. You know, clearly may not have traveled particularly worldly at that point. But I think at that point, I would almost hazard a guess and say, you know, if we're concerned about overall safety, we should be concerned about travel to London, where just, you know, London, UK, not, well, anyone, I mean, no slight on London, Ontario, but I'm sure anyone going there is also slightly concerned, but for other reasons. But London, UK has had a spate of stabbings outside of gay bars. You know what I mean? In the last couple of weeks, I think there were two or three incidents where folks had been stabbed outside of gay bars. And likewise, in the States, there's been a number of events. I think even just a few days ago, someone in Orlando was attacked outside of a gay bar.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like there needs to be two separate advisories. We've talked about this before with reference to, I mean, there's a bunch of places in Europe and South America that have this division where if you're looking at state support, things like, you know, legal protections that you can't lose your home, your job, your health care, your life insurance, your visitation rights because of your sexual or gender identity. The state is fine. It is a good, fine country to live in, but the culture is different. So something I discovered when I actually went to visit my partner in the Netherlands was Dutch culture outside of The Hague in Amsterdam is not super gay friendly. They're not overtly homophobic, but they're also not very gay friendly either. So, but the Netherlands famously at the legal level, incredibly liberal, very progressive, some of the best protections in Europe. But it's the difference between saying like, you know, and this is the classic example. This is where Canada was in the 70s. The idea being, if you're going to be homophobic, do that on your own time, but the state shouldn't have any business in the bedrooms of the people. The state versus the culture. The culture is what the culture is, but should the state get involved? And that was there's a lot of countries that have gone down that road of like, you know, we're a Catholic country, we're a conservative country, we're an Orthodox country, we're a Muslim country. But as far as we're concerned, the government has no business stepping in on this. So there is that division. There are some countries that you can travel to with your partner. Like this is something I discovered when I lived in Japan. Don't make it known that you're a gay couple. Just say that you are two men traveling. And if they ask you what the nature of your relationship is, just say none of your business. You don't have to lie and say we're just friends or roommates or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just say it's none of your business. We're just two guys who are traveling together. A lot of reason why people travel together. But it's at the state level, they're pretty friendly. The culture, they're okay. It's just sort of like, how safe is it to travel? And I really do wish that when they gave these travel advisors, they talked about that. Like, if you're going to run into trouble, is it going to be in the hospital or is it going to be in the streets? And I think that is a very important distinction that isn't really brought up clearly with some of these travel advisories. Some of them just say, just don't go to this place. And there's a few places in the world that are, let's say, conflict zones where it's, yeah, fair enough. But I don't know. Being more clear about whether it's the state or the culture that makes it a dangerous place to go to, or if there's, you know, a recent increase in homophobic attacks on the streets. Again, like you said, London, kind of dangerous right now. Manchester in the Canal District, a little bit, getting a little bit of more news reports, not quite deadly, but still concerning. But the rest of England, like if you're going to, I don't know. If you're going to York.
Okay. I love how we both chose random, you know. Yeah.
Somewhere with a shire in the name, you know. Nottingham. Like, you're going to be fine in Nottingham.
I love how you picked somewhere that didn't have shire in the name.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but whatever. No, I get it. You know, yeah. The Canadian government page on travel and your sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, and sex characteristics does give a bit more detail. Really, they're like, okay, you're traveling somewhere. There's been a link on the country you've looked at to say, look at more. And now they're like, okay, before you go, look into whether or not laws criminalize same-sex activities and relationships. Look at whether or not your laws criminalize people based on gender identity. I think some Canadian passports have X as an identifier on their passports, but not all countries will accept that. So finding out before you get there is a useful piece of information. You know, assuming under personal safety, it says assume that your social media accounts will be viewed by local authorities, including at the border. You know, people tend to forget that. Usually the American border would like to see what your social media accounts are. Yeah, all of these things are relevant. You know, if you're in some rural hotbed of a backwater in Florida, for example, and an officer asks to see your social media, are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for that scenario to unfold? And they also go on to talk about relationships and services, traveling with children, and having your legal documentation, especially if you're a same-sex couple. So, you know, it gets tricky. Let's not beat around the bush here. The United States of America still remains a, broadly speaking, very, very, very safe country to go and visit.
Yes.
But it is also becoming quite a radical country to come go visit. And doing so, you just have to exercise a bit of caution. And I think I'm not the only one here, because the Pope recently referred to the Catholic Church in the United States as reactionary. They've also been very, very critical of him most recently, including actually the Brigham Young University, which is, I believe, a Catholic, actually, I think that's it's a Mormon church, has been banning people. But yeah, the Americans, the United States of America, there are many elements within it, certain states, certain local communities, certain institutions of education, certain sports authorities that are taking a far more radical stance on this than elsewhere. We certainly do hear, you know, what they say, the squeaky wheel.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's one of those issues. There's the what is it called? The there's a name for the media bias of if it bleeds, it leads, where things look worse than they are because it's not profitable to tell happy news. A lot of the places in the States, even the ones with a very bad reputation, are still not as bad as they're cracked up to be. Like, when you're reading the news, you're looking at all of the bad incidents. And even though in Florida it's about once a month, the fact that there's about one bad incident per month in Florida, and it almost never has anything to do with tourists. Now, again, if you don't want to go to Florida, you don't want to give them your tourist dollars, I accept that. But if you're worried, if you're afraid of your physical safety going to Florida, like, it is bad for business if Miami and Orlando get a reputation for violence. Like, they are going to crack down on that kind of thing.
Well, we talked before about the fact that the tourism organizations for the state of Florida were sending out targeted ads, being like, we were a top pride destination in, you know, last year, and, you know, come and check us out. Which they were prior to a whole swath of new laws enacted by Ron DeSantis. You know, they are absolutely, you're absolutely right, the tourism board. And there was an LGBT organization in the States that have declared an emergency, and a local organization in Florida, we mentioned it a few weeks ago, that issued a travel advisory to the rest of the United States saying, don't come here. You know what I mean? And it's there's an example I want to tell you about. It is in Louisiana. There are 4 pediatric cardiologists. Now, for those who are like, okay, what is that? That's a doctor that specializes in children's hearts, specifically around the surgery. Only 4 of them.
Okay.
And one of them, Jake Klein Mahon. Jake, I'm just going to refer to him as Jake moving forward, has decided that he's going to leave New Orleans and is going to go elsewhere, because the state of Louisiana overrode a governor's veto against changes to access to trans health care. And the writing's on the wall. The guy's like, I don't feel safe in my same-sex partnership in this state, with the laws being enacted at the state level. So now one quarter of the state's pediatric cardiologists has now got up and moved. And I bring this up as a bit of an... He really is an extreme example of...
He's also a resident, which is... Things are going to impact him different than us as tourists would, but yes.
But the point I'm kind of circling the drain for here is the unintended consequences.
Oh, yeah,
Now, all of the parents... If I was a parent in Louisiana and I had a small child with the slightest heart murmur or any condition, to now know that my the waiting list for that care has gone up by 25% just by virtue of one quarter of them leaving, you know, that's it's grim. It's something that we need to consider. And I think that that is sort of the broader point here. The government of Canada isn't saying, hey, panic bells, don't go to Florida, it's the worst. They're saying, look, if you're going here, if you're going to anywhere in the United States, take a little bit of time, do a little bit of due diligence, and just verify. Is this something that, you know, am I likely to potentially run into some kind of trouble here? You know what I mean?
I mean, I would say that for all tourism, really.
Absolutely.
And again, the longer you're there, the more relevant that is. So something that, that I discovered, I mean, I don't want to keep going back to the Netherlands, but I mean, I do want to keep going back to the Netherlands. I don't want to keep going back to my having gone to the Netherlands. Something I did not realize until I was there is that the reputation for weed being legal is not entirely true. It's not legal. It's decriminalized, which is different. Because that means, if anything else, because you're going from Canada to the Netherlands, even though possession of weed is legal in both countries, you still shouldn't take it with you on the plane. Not unless there's probably some paperwork or something you fill out, because possession of weed over a certain amount is still criminal there. So you got to double check. You got to make sure, what are the right amounts? Is there paperwork I have to fill out? What do I do? Do I need a reason for it? Blah, blah, blah. Or you could just buy it when you get there. Whatever. But it is the kind of thing you should double check. You shouldn't just assume, you know, because it's legal here, it's legal there. I'm going from here to there. Never mind the fact that I'm going through international air in between the two places. It's legal here. It's legal there. Let's just go. It's not that easy. You should double check.
All right. We'll be jumping into some other big stories of the day. This is Spinning Wheel by Jordy Gordon, and we will be back just after this.
There was a painting in that room where I would stay with you. A little girl that's lost her way into a copse of spruce. Looking across the river to a clearing in the green. Ooh, amazed at what she sees. I asked your grandmother, tales be real, like in the books that pile up beside your spinning wheel. Oh, grandson, in this universe there are many worlds like this. Ooh, many planes exist. Well, light your fingertips. If we take a walk choice leading to this bridge.